Hi, and welcome to the College Financial Lady podcast. I'm Anne Garcia, a fee-only financial advisor and author of the College Financial Lady blog. Today, I'm talking with Rich Fate. Rich is a fellow fee-only financial advisor, and he's also a dad of two children, and he's planning for their college education. So we are going to talk about how financial advisors plan for their kids' college. Rich, welcome. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Why don't we start? Tell me a little bit about your kids, you know, where they are in school, and sort of what your goals for them are.
Well, I have two kids, a son, Tyler, who's 13. He's in eighth grade, and a daughter, Isabella. She's 10. She's in fifth grade. And they're both right now working, schooling from home right now.
the fun of that. So that that must be keeping you pretty busy these days.
Yes. Teacher, business owner,
parent. Sports coach.
Yeah, that's right.
So are you saving for their college educations now?
Yes. When my son was born, Tyler, we opened up an education savings account. We're pretty close within the first 12 months. Did the same thing for Isabella when she was born.
Yeah. Now, are those 529s or Coverdells or?
Coverdells. We actually opted for the Coverdell savings as opposed to the 529 because I like the ability to choose the investments inside of it.
Yeah. So, you know, when it comes to your clients, do you typically recommend the same or?
It depends.
Because I know you're an investment guy.
Yes. I tell them to go talk to you, Anne. But for the most part, if it's just a general question, I do recommend that they open something. I think that's the most important thing. 529s are usually the go-to. Here in Michigan, they have the TIAA CREF one. And that's a pretty solid 529 with decent costs in it. So I usually recommend that one a lot. I happen to use the ESA, the $2,000 max annual contribution one, because I sort of have unique circumstances with my kids. If you'd like, I can get into that.
Sure.
Okay. So my wife works at Michigan State University. And because she started working there 20 years ago, she got into a program where if our kids go to MSU or Michigan State University, they get half off their tuition. I've always been...
Which is fantastic.
It's fantastic, yeah. Half off tuition, not room and board, but tuition. Because we're local, I think they are allowed to live at home, although I don't know if they'd want to. They probably wouldn't. But I figured with half off tuition and the ability to go to a local university, which is, I think both of them like it there. Half off was a pretty good deal, and I figured I could get by with the rest on 2,000 contributions per year.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, while we're on the topic, because I talk a lot about 529s and quite a bit less about ESAs, can you just give people a brief rundown of sort of the high points of an ESA and differences between it and a 529?
Yeah, so the ESA account is, the low point is you can only put $2,000 a year into it per child. But that's the high point is you can invest it however you want to. There's really not a whole lot of restrictions on what you invest in. You can use it for any educational cost. So if your kid is in high school and they're looking to be a valedictorian or they're going to get some nice scholarships for sports or something like that, you can actually use it. It's my understanding you can use it for high school education costs as well. So there's a lot more flexibility, I think, with the ESA than sometimes with the 529 plan. And again, because of my circumstances, it made it like a good fit.
Yeah, absolutely. Are they in public high school or private?
It's public.
Yeah. So you're not planning to use it for high school.
Correct. That's correct.
So looking ahead to the college years, I know you've got a ways to go, but I can tell you as a parent of college students, it'll be here before you know it. Have you started talking with your kids about college?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we have talked to them about it. You know, you're going to laugh. I actually went the community college route for my first two, and I took 5 years to graduate, and I went 2.5 years to the community college because I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And my dad was a financial planner, and so I thought I might want to do that. I had an idea that I kind of wanted to do that, but I thought I'd go to something that was a little less expensive, a little less intimidating at first. And so that's one of the conversations we've had with them. We're like, you know, you can go wherever you want. And this is as a parent, this is something that's, it's probably easier said than done. At this point, we've been saying, you can go wherever you want. We'll pay for half. If you go to Michigan State will pay for the other half. if you go to the community college, then you know, we'll pay for the whole thing because that's pretty inexpensive. So that's kind of the conversation we've been having. And we've kind of planted the seed, but the best laid plans, as you know, don't always work out. And I have a friend.
Isn't that the truth?
Absolutely. I have a friend of mine who works at Michigan State. He's worked there for longer than my wife has. And his daughter decided she did not want to go to Michigan State. She opted to go to a different university.
Yeah. Well, you know, my husband's a Michigan grad, so I can see that that is sometimes a difficult decision to make.
Yeah. Yep.
And so when the time comes to apply, do you foresee this, you know, being a bigger process? You know, do you see your kids being interested in casting a broader net than that? I mean, I feel like one of the things we always struggle with 17-year-olds is having them understand the magnitude of the financial decision they're about to make with college.
Yeah, that's something that's completely new. I'm a noob when it comes to that stuff, so I'm not really sure how that's going to happen. In fact, I'll probably have to lean on you and some other colleagues to figure out the best route for that one. So,
yeah, I know that one of the things that was really, really helpful for my family was just because my daughter wanted to apply everywhere. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, having her do some net price calculators and seeing that, I mean, we literally got net price estimates that ranged from $11,000 a year to $82,000 a year.
Wow.
from different schools. And so that was really, really helpful in narrowing down her list. And I think, you know, to us, one of the really surprising things was that she is now attending the world's most expensive university, and it was actually her second cheapest option because of the generosity of the aid package that they got.
Right. Wow. That's incredible. That's,
yeah,
that's some good planning.
Yeah. And you know, it was kind of something she just stumbled across, and now I don't think she could have found a better fit, you know, not just on the cost side, but for her as a student and as a person as well. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah, so that's been a good thing. So have you thought about, you know, what your spending plan is going to look like when it comes to college? So I'm guessing, you know, with the cap on Coverdell's, you might be, you're probably going to be spending out of pocket as well as spending out of savings.
That's absolutely correct. You're going to laugh, but being a financial planner, my wife and I actually planned it so that our mortgage is going to be done like the second year my son's in college. So about the time that we have both kids in college, we'll have an extra, you know, $20,000 to pay for college at that point because we won't have a mortgage payment.
So, look at you.
But that's assuming we don't buy anything between then and now. So
this is like the financial advisor version of Martha Stewart planting,
right,
planting plants on her
yep.
property so they'd be just right for her daughter's wedding.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. And I knew I wanted to do when I did mine, I did a 15-year mortgage. Because I like to pay them off as soon as possible. We've been paying it off a little bit extra, payment or two each year. And I'm kind of like, okay, if we pay it off this much more, then we can have it done by the time he goes to college, or, you know, by his second year, we can have it at this point. So that's kind of the goal of what we've been planning on, is that'll free up a lot of cash flow with the mortgage situation so that we can make payments. Although, in all honesty, I kind of feel like it depends on the kid, because I look at my son sometimes, and I feel like if he doesn't have any skin in the game, that he's going to, he may not give his best effort. So I'm toying with the idea, and maybe you can help me with this. You know, is it better to let your kid have a little skin in the game and not pay for everything? Or, you know, is this something that, you know, you should be all in on? And by no means is undergrad going to be the all end all. We're hoping that they'll at least go for master's, and maybe, you know, because my wife works there, she sees some of the grad students, and we think that's kind of the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the whole question of skin in the game is a really good one. And I think, you know, for a lot of families, there is no choice but for the student to have some skin in the game, you know, just given the cost of college. And I know this is something that my husband and I have gone sort of back and forth on with my kids, with our kids as well. And we were fortunate that both of them got pretty significant scholarships that were structured so that they had skin in the game. You know, insofar as, you know, with my son got a, my son's going to University of Arizona, and he got a great merit scholarship just for his ACT scores. Wow. And he was not a fantastic high school student. Mm-hmm. So his GPA wasn't great, but he just knocked it out of the park on the ACT. And as part of his, in order to keep his scholarship, he has to have a minimum GPA every year while he's there. And then he's also pre-business. And so to get into the business school, he needs a minimum 3.75 GPA. And he was never even in the same room as a 3.75 GPA as a high school student.
Yep, I can relate.
And honestly, that has been, you know, we kind of have gone back and forth. I mean, both of our kids are responsible for their books and their spending money. Mm-hmm. While they're in college. With, you know, with Alex and his scholarship, we felt like those were like those were big enough things for him to be responsible for. And what we found with him when he so he only applied to two schools. He applied to University of Oregon, you know, here because you have to, and then Arizona because he didn't want to go to Oregon. And it was really interesting hearing him talk about those two schools. You know, with Oregon, he'd say, oh, I'm going to be roommates with Mateus, and Kevin and Liam said we should live in this dorm. And when he would talk about Arizona, he'd say, I think I'm going to do the academic residential community for pre-business, because I think that'll be a good way to meet people and get involved with things. Oh. And we felt like, gosh, you know, we kind of like that person.
Yep. Yep. Outgoing
enough that we're going to support him in doing that. And unfortunately, the scholarship that he got basically equalized the cost between the two schools. Wow. So there wasn't any additional, you know, it didn't cost us more to send him there. So, you know, for our kids, their skin in the game is keeping their scholarships and paying for their books and their spending money. You know, with my daughter, we told her since she has such a large scholarship and she has a few outside scholarships as well, you know, we sort of gave her a threshold that if the scholarship dollars ever went below a certain mm-hmm. level, that she would need to take out the direct student loan every year.
That makes sense.
But we feel, you know, similarly, you know, we feel like she's at University of Chicago, and we feel like it's been such a great fit for her, you know, academically, socially, and in really every way that even if she ends up taking out taking out a direct student loan every year, it will, it's a good investment in her. And you know, when it comes to direct student loans, that's a really reasonable amount of skin in the game for a student to have. You know, if you take out that loan every year to the maximum amount, you know, it's $5,500 your first year, $6,500 your second year, and $7,500 the last 2 years. When you graduate on a 10-year payment plan, you'll be paying about $350 a month. Now, the difference in earnings that you're likely to get as a college graduate versus a non-college graduate should more than cover that amount. So, you know, whether your student has skin in the game because that's a choice you've made as a parent or because that's the way they're going to get through college, that is absolutely a reasonable amount of skin in the game to have. You know, I think if you're looking at your student borrowing more than that, then it's a good idea to start looking at some alternative paths. And I mean, you know, you attended a community college for a couple of years and transferred from there. And that's, that remains a really good option, for people who are, you know, finding a local 4-year school where you can live at home and save money on housing. Cause unfortunately, you know, room and board is a real profit center for most schools. And so,
which is why it's kind of tough right now with a lot of schools across the country, I think, because the room and board is non-existent with all the virtual
stuff. It's gone away.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Although I know both of my kids are back on campus this year.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, we're fortunate, like at Gabby's school, they converted all the dorms to singles, and they have this very managed plan. I think I would have been a little bit more nervous if this were last year and Alex were going to his dorm because at Arizona, they kept all the dorm rooms as doubles and, you know, mass bathrooms and everything like that, which would have made me quite a bit more nervous, but he's in an apartment this year.
Good deal.
Yeah. You know, another thing that since you mentioned, you know, your kids potentially going to Michigan State, one of the great options that a lot of the public schools have is honors colleges. Mm-hmm. And that can be a great way for a student to get a little bit more of a small college feeling on a big college campus.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I know. My daughter got accepted to the Honors College at Oregon, but they weren't very focused in her area of study. Mm-hmm. And my son, crazy thing, after not being much of a high school student, had a 4.0 his freshman year in college and got invited to the Honors College at Arizona this year. So he chose to do that. Yeah, I mean, and every school does their honors college differently. You know, some they'll have, you know, an honors college curriculum that's separate from the regular curriculum that's maybe, you know, classes that the students take in addition to their, or instead of, you know, traditional gen ed courses. And sometimes it'll be, you know, an additional thesis project that they do. At Arizona, you have a choice of taking either specific honors courses or choosing an honors supplement to existing courses.
Nice.
So there's lots of good opportunities in a lot of different places for a lot of different kids.
And that's why I have your contact information on speed dial. So when this stuff starts to happen, I'm going to be calling up and I'm going to hire myself a financial planner.
So, when it starts getting real.
And that's actually something that I've often been, you know, and I'm probably something I need to read up on and figure out too, is, you know, the timing for putting the applications in, you know, when I should be having the discussions about where they want to go and trying to get the idea. Are they going to go local or are they going to go, you know, a couple states away like your kids? These are great things that I think are ahead for me, but they're going to be here soon enough, I'm sure.
Yeah. You know, one thing I wish that we had done, we did a big, my daughter and I did a big college tour the summer before her mm-hmm. senior year. And I really wish we had done that before junior year instead. The reason for that is junior year is really when the academics in high school ramp up. You know, in particular, our high school is an IB school. So, you know, junior year, you're choosing whether you're doing IB or IB or not. But likewise, you know, kids who are choosing AP, any advanced classes, I wish that we had done our college tour before junior mm-hmm. year, because it's such an important year academically.
Might have motivated them.
That it might have been more of a motivation and helped with some course selection. You know, the flip side of that, so she did all IB courses and did very well at them and had a choice of great schools to attend. But my son was not... I described it to one of his teachers as I didn't feel he had the academic maturity as a high school student to put in the work that was required for the courses that he was in. And in hindsight, I wish he had taken less advanced classes, because a lot of schools award their merit aid based on unweighted GPA. And so had he taken a less rigorous course load in high school, he could have qualified for an additional $12,000 a year in scholarships at Arizona. Huh. And not to mention that we could have saved ourselves a lot of frustration and tears from him feeling like he wasn't a good student. But I think, you know, understanding sort of what, you know, having your kids have a better handle on their college aspirations before they get to that point where, you know, like as a junior year, it really branches off. would have been a really good thing.
And that would have been a little better. That's very good information. Thank you so much, because I will definitely be talking to the bride about that and planning out our trips and talking to the kids before then. So when you did your tours, did you like travel cross country? And
yeah, so we're here in Portland, Oregon, and we went to New York, and Gabby was going, she wanted to look at Princeton and Columbia, but she decided after being in New York for a couple of days visiting her cousin that she liked visiting New York but didn't want to go to school there. So then we went from there to Yale, and then we went up to Boston and visited probably 15 schools in Boston over 2 days. And honestly, it was brutal. It was grueling. And, you know, we're from the Pacific Northwest where it's, you know, 78 degrees and zero humidity. And there it was, you know, 95 and 100% humidity. And, you know, we're getting up at 5 a.m. our time to go on these tours. But in hindsight, I'm glad we did so many all at once, because it really forced the colleges to differentiate themselves to us rather than, you know, us having the time to sift through all of their information. And so we really quickly went through all of those Boston schools and said, you know, loved this, didn't like this, this, you know, loved Boston, and this would be a good safety school in Boston. And so, you know, and then in Chicago, we had the opposite experience, because we went from Boston to Chicago, and she had really wanted to look at Northwestern. And I said, we're not going all the way to Chicago and looking at one school. So we went to CU Chicago as well. And she ended, we had this crazy trip getting from Northwestern to CU Chicago. I was so frustrated. I had like smoke coming out of my ears by the time we finally sat down. And she turned and looked at me and said, you know, as soon as we sat down, no one had said a word to us other than we're meeting in this room. And she turned to me and said, I think this is my place.
Wow.
Which was nutty. And it turned out to be the case. So,
she had the intuition,
but yeah. And, you know, and so far that has been 100% 100% correct. But it's so helpful to look at a lot of different schools. And my son had a totally different experience of school shopping, where he played on a travel soccer team, and the coach would take them to visit schools everywhere they went outside of Portland. And he very quickly realized that he liked the big school environment and did not like the schools that he had any chance of playing for. And so he applied to the two schools, got into both, and chose Arizona.
Nice. Sounds like your experience is working well so far.
So far, so good. But I feel like, you know, it's super helpful for the kids to have had that perspective of seeing a lot of places and feeling like they were making a choice.
Did you take
based on doing some research?
Did you take both of them when you went, or was it individual trips?
It was individual trips. So my son really wasn't interested in any of those schools. He knew he wanted to go to a big public school. And we kind of said, we kind of said based on what he was doing in high school that his budget was the cost of attending Oregon.
There you go. That's kind of like our paper half.
And and to his credit, he went and researched all the Pac-12 schools and found this scholarship at Arizona that he was eligible for. And so that's where he is now. Yeah. Well, so I'm trying to think what we haven't covered here. I know I've been talking quite a bit, but this has been really helpful to get a different parent's perspective on how this process works.
I got a question for you. What do you think? I mean, I know, I'm a financial planner, but you do college planning. That's your focus. As far as the plan you've heard, do you think I'm way off base, or is it in the ballpark, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, from what you said, I think you're in good shape. It sounds like your cash flow is definitely going to support the amount that you've told your kids you're willing to spend. Between your cash flow and your savings, I think it's probably worth thinking about what your contingency plan would be if, for some reason, one or both of your kids felt like there was a different path for them to go on that would be drastically more expensive, and you felt compelled as a parent to support that ambition. I felt very strongly for my daughter that our in-state public schools weren't a good fit for her. And for a lot of reasons, none of which are really about the schools themselves, more about who she is as a student and as a person. And it's entirely possible that you would have that sense about one or both of your kids too. And, one of the things that was really helpful for us was just doing a lot of net price calculators when we started looking at schools to really know what the dollars involved were and to be able to have those hard conversations with her about we're not spending $80,000 a year on your college.
Yeah, that's a nice thought, but no.
Or if this is your Boston safety school, you need to get this much in scholarships to be able to go there. Because one of the things that was really surprising to me was the more elite schools are, the more elite a school is, the more generous they're likely to be with financial aid and scholarships. So, as you go down the line, her next choice private school was about $10,000 a year more than UChicago. Her Boston safety school would have been about $25,000 a year more.
Wow.
because she didn't get the scholarships from them that, that she thought she might qualify for. So, you know, I would say your plan definitely supports what you're between your savings and your cash flow supports what you've outlined. But what you've outlined, I think it's worth, you know, taking a look at some other potential schools and knowing that this is a long, long way off for your kids. You might just, you know, randomly choose a few private schools. And just do the net price calculators and see, you know, what those numbers look like.
That
and
makes total sense. Yeah.
Just so that your only conversation isn't no.
Yes, I know it wouldn't be that, but but it sounds like you've had a little bit more in-depth conversations than I have. And so definitely something I need.
Well, we're a little further down the path. And
I definitely need to raise my awareness around these things a little bit. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then, you know, a lot of it too is going to depend on what their friends are doing too, because there can develop this momentum behind, you know, all my friends are going to X. And not that that's the basis on which to choose a college. But it is a conversation that you as their dad need to be prepared to have. And, you know, and think too about what are the things you would say yes to.
Yeah.
And what would make something else a yes. Because you have great options right where you are. And in particular, you know, with your wife's situation, and you also have the, you know, the financial ability to open the door a little bit wider than that, if you should, if you should so choose, you know, and for us with our kids, it was always a, you know, why would this be a better outcome for you? And not just, I like the buildings there better, or I want to get out of Oregon.
One thing that I like about what you said is you thought that, you know, specific colleges were good for your kids' personality. And, you know, our kids are totally different personalities. And when you said that about, you know, maybe one of them going to a different place, I thought, oh, that's probably going to be my daughter. So, and that gives me a little more time, but you never know. My son could say the same thing. So it definitely is, got me thinking a little bit about the, that conversation that we have to have. And my son going into high school next year, you know, that's probably a lot closer than I realized. So.
Yeah, those years will fly by if they don't crawl like they are now. Yeah.
And then a fantastic idea of doing the trip after their sophomore, you said after the sophomore year, right?
Yeah, before they start junior year, because I think that'll that can really help to inform good curriculum choices for their high school years. You know, and things too, like, are the schools, you know, if you're thinking you're going to go the AP or IB route in high school, are the schools you look at, you're looking at going to give them credit for it? So, you know, Gabby did full IB and got zero credit for it because UChicago has a four-year curriculum and they will only let you transfer in a maximum of three credits. So she got some placement for her IB and AP classes, but no credit. Had she gone to University of Oregon, she would have basically started with sophomore standing.
Which also would impact the cost on things too.
It would, but you know, then the other, it's technically you could have sophomore standing. The challenge too for kids with a lot of credits is many schools will only give you gen ed credit for your AP classes. Others will give you actual credit towards your major. So for a student who comes into college somewhat unsure of their career path and has a bunch of gen ed credits from AP classes, it really constrains their ability to shop around by taking different classes as a, you know, as a student. My nephew went to the University of Washington, and he came in with a lot of credits, and midway through what he thought was his junior year, his academic advisor called him in for a meeting about his coming graduation. And he was not wanting to graduate at that point, but they basically told him, you've maxed out on credits, you're done. You know, fortunately for him, he had already fulfilled all his requirements for his major, but it was a bit of a shock to him to learn that he was graduating after 3 years.
That is kind of crazy. And that's probably a conversation I need to have with some of my wife's colleagues, like the advisors in their department, because they probably have a lot better grasp on that sort of thing, like especially for Michigan State and maybe even some other ones. But
Yeah. Well, and that's the nice thing with the public schools is they do have very specific policies about how all of this transfers, and generally they do accept those credits. You know, the hard part for you as a parent is you're planning all of this, you know, and for your kid as a student is you have to make all these decisions not knowing where they're gonna ultimately end up. So like for Gabby, she had to sign up for all these IB tests, and we had to pay for all these IB tests because some of the schools she had applied to were going to give her a bunch of credit. And then, you know, she ended, by the time the time came to actually take the test, she knew where she was going and that none of them mattered.
Interesting. Definitely a lot to think about, a lot more than I've put into it. So.
You know, it's funny because we have these conversations with people and there's so many aspects to it. There's lots of great ways to get a college education if you just wait till senior year and say, I'm going to apply to my local public school. It's just that if you start thinking about it a little further in advance, you're probably going to create some opportunities and open some doors for your kids that might not have been there if you just waited till senior year.
Yep, that's true. Speaking of creative ways to get a college education, my dad, you know, had this story that he told us that a friend of his went to, I thought it was a local university here in Michigan, and he went all the way through his junior year, and his senior year he transferred to Harvard, and he ended up getting his degree, says it's from Harvard, because they accepted him, and he ended up graduating. Is that a strategy here for getting a Harvard degree?
It's certainly a possibility. I know that a lot of the private schools, though, don't accept many transfer students. but I was my the last firm that I worked for. So I went to Berkeley, and one of the partners there also went to Berkeley, and he went to a community college for 2 years first, and then transferred in. And so we both had the same degree.
Very cool.
So yeah, there's a lot of paths. It seems like every generation they get a little different from how they were the previous generation. Well, thank you so much, Rich, for your willingness to share your family's story.
I appreciated the conversation, and I always enjoyed working with you on some of the NAPFA leadership programs, and hopefully we'll get to see each other at a conference sometime soon.
Absolutely. Let's hope there is a conference sometime soon. Well, thank you. This is Ann Garcia, the College Financial Lady, and I'm talking with Rich Bate, another fee-only financial advisor and parent of two children, about his own college plans. Rich, thanks so much.